Thank the Lord. So very thankful you're here in the house of the Lord. Amen. You ever have questions? What a dumb rhetorical question that is. My goodness. It's amazing when you go to the internet and you ask a question, the meaning of a word, the location of a place. Brother Nelson and I were on the phone. One of the Bible school students is going to look at Haines. I mean, serious enough to go and look at Haines. So we were trying to find the address of the building in Haines. And I was going to Haynesboro, you know, the parcel lookup thing that we do here. And Brother Nelson's on the other line, and he's looking on his computer. And, oh, I found it. I found it on Google Maps. Here it is. And then, well, how did we get there? You know, I can't even remember where it is exactly in town. But amazing how you can find things that are there. How do you deal with yellow jackets? No, that's not fair that they have nests up in the air. I mean, that part of it is good. They're easy to identify. But what's not fair is them in the ground. And there's just a little hole where they're going in and out. And you happen to be the unlucky one to step on that hole, you'll discover real quick that there's a bunch of them there. But you ask the question, how do you deal with yellow jackets in the ground? And there's some real devious ways of doing it. Questions. Okay, here we go. Mark 12, 28. We'll just read the one, and then time will tell the story here. Mark 12, 28. Let's read together. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? It's almost like they're trying to top each other. Who has the question that's going to stump him? Who has the question that's just going to stop him? And there won't be an answer. He'll just hum and haw, beat around the bush, as we say, and not have an answer. I'm glad he's got an answer. Amen. Amen. Now, foolish questions we avoid. But I'm thankful he has an answer when our hearts are hurting, when we're searching, when we're wondering. Amen. Now, he's not the author of confusion, but sometimes confusion does settle in our minds, and we're trying to figure it out. And I'm thankful he has the answer. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Jesus and we fill in the blank there. Jesus and there's so many blessings that can be included there. Jesus and peace. Jesus and love. Jesus and healing. Jesus and power. Jesus and miracles. Jesus and salvation. Jesus and deliverance. We can go on and on and on. But Jesus and wisdom is one sometimes that we don't take advantage of. And we're trying to determine our path, our direction, our outcome on our own. But Jesus and wisdom is a real strong connection. Right from when he was a child, Luke 2 and 40 makes reference to the Lord growing and waxing strong or becoming strong. And it identifies three areas that he grew and became strong in: spirit, wisdom, and grace. Thank the Lord. And those became hallmarks of his ministry as he grew even older, the 12-year-old in the temple, and then a 30-year-old at a wedding, and all of the aspects that came in between, how the Lord demonstrated his power and his blessing. Amen. The time as a 12-year-old in a temple, the Bible says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Praise God. And there were many, many, many later on who were able to benefit from his understanding and his answers. Praise God. And I'm thankful that that has not ended. It's still something we receive today. Praise God. And the blessings that are there. Mark records how in his teaching in the synagogue, and they were astonished. They were amazed, and they questioned among themselves, where did he get these things? Where did he arrive at this understanding, and what wisdom that is given to him? And not only wisdom that was given to him, but mighty works, mighty works. So I'm thankful the Lord is able to give an answer. And yet, we see time and again how they came to him with questions. Like I said, it's almost as though they were trying to find an area, a loophole, as it were, to be able to confuse him and or make him contradict what is in the Old Testament. Those were the only scriptures they had, of course. The New Testament had not yet been written, so they're making reference to things that came before. And paying tribute to Caesar, what do you say about that? The Lord said, give me a coin. Somebody dug in their pocket and brought out a coin, and the Lord looked at it and showed it to them. Whose image is on this? Caesar's. Very, very common. Everybody knew. Everybody recognized it. They all knew that that was the common mode of exchange. Caesar's image on it? Okay. You give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you give to God what is God's. Well, they made the connection real fast. Nobody had to ask for an explanation. Nobody had to wonder, can you elaborate? Can you expound? Can you bring us a little closer there? They knew what he was saying. You are made in God's image. You belong to God. Go ahead and give to Caesar what his image is on, but make sure you're giving yourself to God. Amen. Thank the Lord. And they marveled and were amazed at the answer. See, this is what was going on before we read the verse here. They're reasoning among themselves. They're coming up with all these scenarios about what about this? What about that? So they came up with a woman was married to brothers, you know, and the law says that if there's no child, then and the husband passes away, then a brother has the responsibility and so on. And the Sadducees came to with their question. They thought, aha, we've got a question. Now they're the ones that don't believe in the resurrection. If I didn't believe in the resurrection, I'd be sad, you see. But I'm thankful I believe in the resurrection. Amen. So they're trying to make fun of the resurrection. Okay, this wife had seven brothers. The same woman, seven brothers. And that's never gonna happen. I mean, you talk about a foolish question. This is a foolish with a capital F. Same wife, seven brothers, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And they thought they really had him stumped. And he told them, you don't know the scripture. You don't know the power of God. They rise from the dead, and thank God he's emphasizing they're going to rise from the dead. Amen. There is a resurrection. Praise God. And the Lord is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. And thank the Lord that the children of the resurrection are going to be in his presence. Not going to die anymore. Equal to the angels, the children of God, the children of the resurrection. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord has his power and display. So the scribe is standing there listening to all that's going on. And then he says, Lord, you've answered them well. He kind of looks at them and nods his head. He's got good answers. He's answers that are good. So now he has to ask a question. What is the first commandment? And he knows it very well, Shema Israel. Adonai, he knew Adonai Echad. The Lord is God, the Lord is one. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. And the scribe nods and says, thou hast well said. He answered him well. Praise God. And that's the important thing that has got to be done. And so the Lord says to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't say, you're right there at the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You need to get closer. Amen. There's always a step that you can take. There's always a distance you can close. There's always an opportunity to get closer to the Lord. How close do you want to be? Amen. How close do you want to be in the presence of the Lord? And thank God, we don't want to be separated at all. Paul ends Romans 8, a beautiful, powerful chapter. He ends it by saying, nothing is going to separate us. Nothing. Amen. And he lists 17 different things upon the earth and spiritual entities and all that would cause a separation. It's not going to separate. Except us to choose to walk away. God help us to stay close to his wisdom. Amen. And his power. Christ crucified was not something that they could grasp. It was to the Greeks it was foolishness. To the Jews it was a stumbling block. How can that result in anything powerful, anything good, for him to be identified with a criminal, to spend time on the cross? And sometimes that it lasted for days. Sometimes they continued. That's why they broke their legs, so that they would suffocate on the cross. And that was how they met their death. What a horrible thing. And yet the Lord endured that. Foolishness, a stumbling block. But to us who believe, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Thank the Lord he was willing to pay that price. Thank the Lord he was willing to step into that realm and say, this is what I'm going to do. We use that phrase, we sang about it today. We use that phrase, to die for. Oh, that chocolate cake was to die for. I wouldn't know. I don't eat chocolate. So this whatever is to die for, or whatever that is to die for. He really did that. He really paid that price. He really suffered on the cross. He really spent that time there. Amen. And thank God, his wisdom is what brought it about, because the power of God needed to be displayed for our salvation. Amen. He is our righteousness. He's our holiness. He's our redemption. He's our wisdom. In him are hid all the treasures of the wisdom of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. That treasure is for you to find. That treasure is for you to open up. That treasure is for you to enjoy. And thank God that we're able to be there. Amen. Amen. A lot of questions. Why do we have to be so different from the world? Why do we insist on modesty and holiness and godliness and righteousness? Why do we adhere to these, what is stated in the Word of God, when the rest of the world is just going on the way they want? Men with short hair, women with long hair, long dresses, modesty, all of those aspects that are there. Why? Well, I'll tell you what. When you're in a place by yourself and there isn't the fellowship, there isn't the companionship, camaraderie, esprit de corps, whatever you want to call it, as far as what we enjoy at camp meeting, what we enjoy as ministers at the retreat, and you're all by yourself in Ketchikan, and you're trying to adhere, you're trying to hold, you're trying to uphold that, and people thrilled to be baptized in the name of Jesus, people thrilled to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But a little farther down the road, they recognize some things to give up, some things to change. Amen. A new heart, that whole process that's got to be in place, the whole system that's got to be at work. and how the Lord would bring about that new heart again and again and again in all the various aspects after the new birth. Thank God comes a new life. Why? How come? Oh, I'm thankful. We look at the cross. We look at the price that he paid. We look at the willingness that he gave of himself. And can I do what he's asking me to do? Amen. Can I follow through on his word? Questions? John 14, if you have a red letter edition, John 14 is full of red letters. And the only black letters are questions. Thomas wanted to know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you know me, you know my Father also. Philip has to ask a question. Show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me, he said. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth comes by Jesus. The image of the invisible God. All you're going to see of God. Amen. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. Amen. And Judas, and John is quick to add, not Iscariot, Judas asked, how will you manifest yourself to us but not to the world? How's that going to be? Well, Jesus emphasized the priority of love for him and the Word of God. Then he promised the power of the Spirit, the Comforter. Thank the Lord. And that promise occurred again in John 15. And then again in John 16, as though the Lord was saying, don't miss it. I've got something for you. I've got power that you're going to receive. I've got comfort that you're going to be blessed with. And the Spirit of truth is going to lead you and guide you into all truth. That's that ongoing new heart, that ongoing blessing that the Lord wants to provide. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, his word got around the villages and the metropolitan areas like Jerusalem and so on. They still have to go to the marketplace. They still have to go where people are going to congregate, and there's going to be discussions and questions and so on. And as word got around about Jesus and the healing that he was able to do, what were the questions in people's minds? What was bringing them to the point where they could go a long distance because they wanted to be in the presence of the Lord? And not them only, but how they wanted their friends to get there. And those four men who got together and said, Jesus is over here in our friend's house. And we've got our paralyzed friend here who can't get there unless we carry him. What should we do? Well, there's a rug. No, that's too small. There's a blanket. Okay, put him in that blanket. And each one of us grab a corner. Let's go. And then out the small doors. You know, it wasn't a big, wide thing like that. It was, their dwellings were small. And especially a paralyzed man, depending on family and contributions and charity and so on, he probably lived in just a small little room. And here they go. They've got to coordinate how they get out the door. And let me go first, and then you guys come. Oh, watch out. Don't bump him. Lift him up. Come on, Sam. Pull up your side. Joe, come on. Pick him up a little higher. We got to get down this road here. We got to get him to the door. And when they get to the door, it's full. They can't get in. So what do? They're looking around. Let's go up on the roof. Let's let him down through the roof. You know the story. Praise God. But what was their discussion? Did they expect carrying the man to Jesus and then them all five walking back home? Did they really expect that what was going to happen? Or did they think there was going to be some kind of a miracle, some kind of partial healing, some kind of work that the Lord was going to do? Amen. But oh, their astonishment. They heard him say, your sins are forgiven. And then they heard him say, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And now all five of them going down the street. Praise God. And they'd stop and look back. And can you hop a little bit? Can you skip? Can you jump? Walk slow, walk fast. Walk around the block. Praise God. Let's walk over to your uncle. Let's walk down to the synagogue. Praise God. I must have got worn out. Would you? Would you want to see him walk again and again and again? Praise God. What powerful answers that our God has. What blessings that he had. Now, he did ask them a question. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or rise up and walk? What's easier? And they didn't have time to answer, and the Lord would say, rise up and walk. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord has answers to forgive, to heal, the work that he's able to do, the power he's able to display. Amen. And situations that were impossible for man, the man born deaf, the man born mute. And we know the story of Helen Keller. And was it Ann Sullivan? Who was her teacher? Amazing. Incredible work that was accomplished. And then Helen Keller becoming an author herself and all of the aspects that was there of how to deal with this. They didn't have any answers. They didn't have any way to work with the deaf and mute situation. But thank God, the Lord did an incredible work. Amen. And then the healing, he spoke plain. Praise God. Praise God. In Mark 7:37, they were astonished beyond measure. I think I would be. I think I'd just be, I'd want to go and whisper in his ear, and did you hear that? Can you hear me now? Praise God. What did I just say? Yeah, and want him to answer. Praise God. But oh, they were astonished beyond measure. He has done all things well. That's my God. That's my Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord for the power that he displays. Amen. Now, again, they're still trying to chap him. And Luke 20, he uses the phrase, they tried to entangle him in his talk. Get your line all tangled up when you're fishing? Trying to get it all untangled. That's what they were trying to do to the Lord. They're trying to make such a bird's nest out of it that they thought sure they could catch him. And so here they come, marching to the temple. And there's an angry, self-righteous lot there. And they're moving along at a pretty fast rate. And their purpose is to get Jesus to contradict the law, because this adulterous woman deserves to be stoned under Moses' law. And they explain the circumstances. And then very confidently, they ask, what do you say? And I'm sure the smirks and the smiles communicated among themselves, we got him now. He's going to have to contradict the law. He's going to have to go against Moses with all of his love and all of his forgiveness, all of his mercy, all of his compassion. It's going to work against him now. But Jesus didn't answer anything. He just looked at them, looked at the woman, looked at the ground, and stooped and began to write. And they kept asking him. They kept after him. And the Lord gave his answer. Let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. And then he stooped and began to write again. Are you going to ask him what he wrote when you get to the other side? Lord, what did you write in the dust? Lord, what caused their consciences to be so convicted that they began to walk away one by one? And then you and the woman are left standing alone. What did you write? And what was the expression on her face when you said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What did she look like? What was her response? Did she smile? Did tears start down her cheeks? Did she feel like jumping and rejoicing? Huh. But what a tremendous answer. An answer she was not expecting, and certainly an answer they were not expecting. But our God has the answer. Amen. No matter what the question, God's got an answer. You know, we used to say Jesus is the answer. And then we added Jesus is still the answer. Praise God. And I don't know what we'd write today. More of the same. He's still the answer. Thank God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. I'm thankful there's an answer. Now, serious questions deserve a sincere answer. And I'm thankful the Lord is able to do that. Amen. Look at Jeremiah 33 and 3. Look at the scripture that the Lord offers us, even in the Old Testament. Call unto me, and I will. Praise God. It's God's will for you to have an answer. I will answer thee and show thee. You know, it's not just going to be an answer, but it's going to be an answer that's great and mighty. I'll show you great and mighty things. You've never seen them before. You don't know them. You've never encountered it. It's not been a part of your experience. But I'm going to bring you into even more. That's what's so exciting about serving God. That's what's so powerful about reaching out to the Lord. Praise God. And oh, I'm so thankful that he invites us. Call. Ask. Reach out. Pray. And I will answer. Praise God. That's like him saying, ask, seek, knock. Because when you ask, what happens? It's going to be given. When you seek, what happens? It's going to be found. When you knock, it's going to open. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful the Lord's able to bring about those kinds of results. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. People want what they don't need. And they need what they don't want. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. Let's not fall into that category. Let's not make that mistake. Amen. But reach for the things that God wants us to have. Amen. And thank God, no matter what the question, I'm thankful he's got the answer. Life is full of questions. Questions about health, questions about finance, questions about family, questions about marriage, questions about school and education and jobs and employment, all of these aspects, and certainly questions about spiritual things. But God has the answer in every category. God has the answer in every situation. And I'm so thankful we put our trust in him. Would you stand with me, please? He answered them well. Praise God. I'm thankful that's how our God answers. Amen. And certainly because of all of the various aspects that we encounter in life, we look to the Lord. We want to find answers. We need direction. We need guidance. And I'm thankful that He's there. to minister. Praise God. Amen. But the bottom line that he gave to this young man, you know, who gave a good answer and so on, and the first commandment and all of that stuff, the Lord made the observation, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, nobody asked him any more questions, at least in this portion of Scripture in Mark 12. They didn't ask him any more. But that man should have followed up, shouldn't he? I'm not far. What do I need to do? Tell me and I'll do it. Whatever you require, I'll start right now. I want to be in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be just far. I don't want to be away. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Praise God. And that's a good determination for us to make today. I don't want to just be close. I don't want to be, you know, just a little ways off. I want to be right in the middle of what God has for me. Praise God. And no matter what the price, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, and sometimes we look at it as, oh my, what a sacrifice. The things I have to do, the things I have to give up, my word, look at all you're gaining. Look at all you're getting. Look at all you're receiving. Look at the promises. Amen. Look where you're going. Praise God. And if you have to look back, look all the way back to a hill outside Jerusalem. Look at three crosses that are on that hill. And look at the one who is paying the price for you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What an answer to the problems of all of mankind. And I'm so thankful that you and I have found that answer. Praise God. Praise God. Let's come and pray here for a little while.